Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. It is winter here in Australia, in Melbourne. It is so cold right now. Whew, I can see my breath in front of me as I speak. We're up to Book 8, Chapter 4. Princess Mary, as she sat listening to the old men's talk and fault-finding, understood nothing of what she heard. She only wondered whether the guests had all observed her father's hostile attitude towards her. She did not even notice the special attentions and amiabilities shown her during dinner by Boris Drubetskoy, who was visiting them for the third time already. Princess Mary turned with an absent-minded questioning look to Pierre, who, hat in hand and with a smile on his face, was the last of the guests to approach her after the old prince had gone out and they were left alone in the drawing room. "May I stay a little longer?" he said, letting his stout body sink into an armchair beside her. "Oh, yes," she answered. "You noticed nothing?" her look asked. Pierre was in an agreeable after-dinner mood. He looked straight before him and smiled quietly. "Have you known that young man long, princess?" he asked.
"Who?"
"Drubetskoy."
"No, not long."
"Do you like him?"
"Yes, he is an agreeable young man."
"Why do you ask me that?" said Princess Mary, still thinking of that morning's conversation with her father.
"Because I have noticed that when a young man comes on leave from Petersburg to Moscow, it is usually with the object of marrying an heiress."
"You have observed that?" said Princess Mary.
"Yes," returned Pierre with a smile, "and this young man now manages matters so that where there is a wealthy heiress, there he is too. I can read him like a book. At present he is hesitating whom to lay siege to, you or Mademoiselle Julie Karagina. He is very attentive to her."
"Oh, he visits them?"
"Yes, very often. And do you know the way of courting?" said Pierre with an amused smile, evidently in that cheerful mood of good-humoured raillery for which he so often reproved himself in his diary.
"No," replied Princess Mary.
"To please Moscow girls nowadays one has to be melancholy." "He is very melancholy with Mademoiselle Karagina," said Pierre.
"Really?" asked Princess Mary, looking into Pierre's kindly face and still thinking of her own sorrow. "It would be a relief," thought she, "if I ventured to confide what I am feeling to someone. I should like to tell everything to Pierre. He is kind and generous. It would be a relief. He would give me advice."
"Would you marry him?"
"Oh, my God! Count, there are moments when I would marry anybody," she cried suddenly, to her own surprise and with tears in her voice. "Ah, how bitter it is to love someone near to you and to feel that." She went on in a trembling voice. "That you can do nothing for him but grieve him, and to know that you cannot alter this. Then there is only one thing left, to go away. But where could I go?"
"What is wrong? What is it, princess?"
But without finishing what she was saying, Princess Mary burst into tears.
"I don't know what is the matter with me today. Don't take any notice. Forget what I have said."
Pierre's gaiety vanished completely. He anxiously questioned the princess, asked her to speak out fully and confide her grief to him. But she only repeated that she begged him to forget what she had said, that she did not remember what she had said, and that she had no trouble except the one he knew of, that Prince Andrew's marriage threatened to cause a rupture between father and son. "Have you any news of the Rostovs?" she asked, to change the subject.
"I was told they are coming soon. I am also expecting Andrew any day. I should like them to meet here."
"And how does he now regard the matter?" asked Pierre, referring to the old prince. Princess Mary shook her head.
"What is to be done? In a few months the year will be up. The thing is impossible. I only wish I could spare my brother the first moments I wish they would come sooner. I hope to be friends with her. You know, you have known them a long time, said Princess Mary. Tell me, honestly, the whole truth. What sort of a girl is she? What do you think of her? The real truth, because, you know, Andrew is risking so much doing this against his father's will, that I should like to know. And undefined instinct told Pierre that these explanations and repeated requests to be told the whole truth expressed ill will on the princess's part towards her future sister-in-law, and a wish that he should disapprove of Andrew's choice, but in reply he said what he felt rather than what he thought. I don't know how to answer your question, he said, blushing, without knowing why. I really don't know what sort of girl she is. I can't analyze her at all. She is enchanting, but what makes her so, I don't know. That is all one can say about her. Princess Mary sighed, and the expression on her face said, yes, that's what I expected and feared. Is she clever? She asked. Pierre considered. I think not, he said. And yet, yes. She does not deign to be clever. Oh, no, she is simply enchanting, and that is all. Princess Mary again shook her head disapprovingly. Ah, I so long to like her. Tell her so, if you see her before I do. I hear they are expected very soon, said Pierre. Princess Mary told Pierre of her plan to become intimate with her future sister-in-law as soon as the Rostovs arrived, and to try to accustom the old prince to her. All right, there we have it, another chapter down, and we've got Pierre and Princess Maya together in a chapter. I like these two characters. I think they might be maybe my two favorite characters. And so a chapter with them having a conversation is always going to be entertaining to me, weirdly. I just like seeing them talk. Turtle Vader said, Pierre jokingly brings up that Drubetskoy, Boris, is interested in marrying a rich Moscow bride, and says he most likely has his eye on Mademoiselle Julie Karagina, but asks if Maya would consider marrying him. Place your bets now. Does Boris marry Julie Karagina, or Maya, or somebody else? De Fleury said, as soon as Boris turned up, I realized that Princess Maya's status was about to change from family idiot to rich heiress as soon as the old man kicks the bucket. The ever opportunistic Boris in the right place, schmoozing with the right people. Personally, I hope that Maya doesn't marry Boris. Would it be too much to ask for Pierre to get divorced from Helena and then marry Maya? Is that too much of a stretch? That's what I want to happen. Probably not likely. Turtle Vader also said, Maya almost reveals her abuse to Pierre, but stops just short and insists that nothing is wrong. Why do you think she does this? If she told the truth, the full truth, how do you think Pierre would react? Laura Astrid responded to this one, saying, I think she doesn't tell Pierre about how her dad's treatment of her because she's one of those people who blames themselves for bad things, like a good Christian. I think it was on the tip of her tongue. She really wanted to tell him, to tell anyone. But, yeah, I don't think she will. I think she'll just wait for the old man to kick the bucket and then move on with her life. They call her attitude stoic, stoicism. But I don't know. I think she's just really hard on herself, unrealistically hard on herself. Someone can be so cruel to her, and she would be so guilt-ridden if she had anything bad to say about that person in return. It would be unacceptable for her to say anything bad in response. Laura Astrid also said, when the families do meet, I'm interested to see if Natasha will be able to charm Prince Nicholas the way she's able to charm so many others. Wouldn't that be cool to see this grumpy old sod just sort of unable to resist the charms of Natasha, and he just warms to her because she's so enchanting, as Pierre said. It is funny that Maya doesn't like Natasha. Of all the people that she puts up with, it's Natasha that gets under her skin. And she says so many times in this chapter that she wants to like her. She wants to get along with her, but she's just not sure about her. Just thinks she's young and stupid. She even asks, is she smart? And that was an interesting little back and forth there when Pierre, the way Pierre answered it. And he was sort of like, in some ways, sort of, but no, she's not smart. She's just enchanting. There was a comment a few episodes back, I can't remember who said it, but someone said, it's becoming more and more obvious that she's not clever. She can't read. It was in the chapter where she couldn't proofread her own letters, I think it was. And someone made the comment about that, saying, it's becoming obvious that she's just coasting through life on her charm. Anyway, that's going to do us for today's episode. Thanks very much for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.